This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. It's Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. It's 7:06 in the morning. If you want to be part of the show this morning, very simple to do. 405-608-4377 is the number you want to dial. 405-608-4377. We have a chock-filled show for you this morning. After nearly 40 years of service, the leader of the Chickasaw Nation is abruptly stepping down. What happens next coming up? The Oklahoma County Jail Trust is taking a closer look at its finances. What prompted that decision? Edmond makes an important decision regarding data centers, which direction they went. The U.S. Supreme Court expected to make an important decision regarding guns and medical marijuana. We'll have Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association break it all down for us on this week's 2A Tuesday. And candidates for state superintendent of education face off. Trey Savage with NonDoc.com, which hosted that debate, will be here with the analysis you need. But first, a check of your Freedom 96 news headlines on Freedom 96.9. One person is dead, two other people are recovering after a shooting in McAllister. According to the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, police responded to reports of gunfire and found three people suffering from gunshot wounds. All were taken to the hospital. One man later died. Investigators say a 20-year-old suspect has been arrested and booked into Pittsburgh County Jail. The OSBI is leading the investigation and says anyone with information is encouraged to come forward as detectives continue working to determine just what led to that shooting. Meanwhile, a deadly shooting last night under investigation in Purcell after police say a man was found shot and later died from his injuries. Authorities responded to the scene and began searching for a suspect shortly after the shooting was reported. Investigators have not released too many details about what led to the violence, but say the case remains active. Police are asking anyone with information to come forward as detectives work to determine the circumstances surrounding the shooting and identify everyone involved. Oklahoma City police are investigating after a shooting left one person injured. Officers responded to reports of gunfire and found a victim suffering from at least one gunshot wound. The victim was taken to the hospital. Police have not yet released details about that person's condition. Investigators are now working to determine what led to the shooting and whether any suspects have been identified. Anyone with information is being asked to contact Oklahoma City police as their investigation continues. The Oklahoma County Jail Trust is moving forward with a major overhaul after an audit identified concerns involving management, finances, and operation of the county jail. Trust members say the findings highlight the need for stronger oversight and greater accountability as the county prepares for a new jail facility. Officials are reviewing recommendations aimed at improving transparency, staffing, inmate care, and financial control. Supporters say the changes are necessary to rebuild public confidence, while critics argue the longstanding problems at the jail require much more than just administrative reforms to fix. After nearly four decades leading the Chickasaw Nation, Governor Bill Anitubby says he will retire at the end of June. Anitubby has served as governor since 1987 and is widely credited with helping to transform the Chickasaw Nation into one of the largest and most economically successful tribes in the country. Under his leadership, the nation expanded health care, education, housing, business opportunities, and now support thousands of jobs across Oklahoma. Tribal leaders say a transition plan is already underway, with Secretary of State Bill Lance expected to serve as interim governor until a special election can be held. Edmond City Council has approved a temporary moratorium on a new data center project through the end of the year. City leaders say the pause will give officials time to study the potential impact large-scale data centers could have on water supplies, electric infrastructure, land use, and nearby neighborhoods. The move comes as communities across Oklahoma debate the rapidly growing industry. Supporters say the moratorium allows for smart planning before more projects move forward, while critics argue that it could delay economic development and future investment opportunities. Meanwhile, Edmond is taking steps to better protect homes and neighborhoods from the growing threat of wildfires. City leaders have approved a community wildfire protection plan that identifies high-risk areas and outlines strategies to reduce fire danger. The plan includes recommendations for vegetation management, public education, emergency response coordination, and wildfire-resistant development practices. Officials say rapid growth along Edmonds' outskirts has increased concerns about wildfire risks. Supporters believe the plan will help the city to better prepare for future fire seasons and improve safety for residents and first responders. Oklahoma City Public Schools looking to fill dozens of teaching positions before the new school year. The district recently hosted a teacher hiring event aimed at recruiting educators for classrooms across the metro. School leaders say vacancies remain in several subject areas as the district statewide continues to compete for qualified teachers. Applicants had the opportunity to interview on-site and learn about available positions. Oklahoma City Public Schools says that hiring enough teachers is critical to ensuring that students have a strong start when classes resume this fall. International students at Oklahoma colleges say finding campus jobs is becoming increasingly difficult, even as many rely on those positions to help to cover living expenses and gain work experience. Students interviewed by the Oklahoman say that limited openings, growing competition, and federal work restrictions for international students have made employment harder to secure. University officials say they're working to expand opportunities and connect students with available positions. Oklahoma agencies that serve homeless people are raising concerns about proposed changes to federal funding programs. Service providers say the changes could reduce flexibility and make it harder to deliver on housing assistance, mental health services, and other support programs across the state. Organizations in Oklahoma City and other communities warn that any reduction in federal support could increase pressure on already stretched local resources. Federal officials say the goal is to improve accountability and effectiveness, but advocates fear that those changes could leave some of Oklahoma's most vulnerable residents with fewer options for help. Operation Safe Oklahoma is expanding its efforts to clear homeless encampments across central Oklahoma. The state-led initiative recently moved into Norman after conducting sweeps in Oklahoma City, with officials saying the goal is to connect homeless people with services while addressing public safety concerns. Supporters argue the program helps to reduce crime, improve sanitation, and move people into housing and treatment programs. Critics, however, question whether enough long-term housing and mental health resources are available, warning that many people may simply relocate to other areas rather than find permanent solutions. Well, could marijuana users legally own guns? The U.S. Supreme Court is weighing a major Second Amendment case that could impact federal firearms restrictions nationwide. The challenge involves a Texas man, marijuana use, and the same law once used against Hunter Biden. What the court decides could have far-reaching consequences for gun owners across America. Coming up, Don Spencer with OK2A weighs in on this 2A Tuesday. And then a little bit later on this hour, we'll take a deep dive into the race for the state superintendent of public education debate. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Tuesday morning. Yukon to downtown, 21 minutes. Norman to downtown, 28 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 23 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 24 minutes. Construction problems, Danforth and Kelly in Edmond. May and Northwest Expressway got bridge work there. And bridge work I-44 at Southwest 74th. Construction on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Running for Oklahoma governor ain't supposed to be easy. You gotta be tough. So Mike Mazie's whining and crying as we learn about his liberal record? Tough luck, Mikey. See, while President Trump crushed the woke left, Mike Mazie allowed transgender surgeries in Oklahoma. That's right. Mazie voted to allow a taxpayer-funded hospital to hide children undergoing radical gender reassignment treatments, sex changes that transitioned boys into girls and girls into boys. But that's not all. Trump's MAGA movement would have been crushed by Hillary Clinton if Mike Mazie got his way. Mazie voted to remove Oklahoma from the Electoral College, going to a national popular vote that would have rigged the system for crooked Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Mike Mazie, for trying so close.
A transgender ally endangering our kids. A Clinton lover and Trump hater. MAGA phony Mike Mazie. Woke. radical and just too liberal for Oklahoma. Paid for by Make Oklahoma Great Again. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. 601 South Boulder Avenue, Suite 610. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74119. 918-947-9459.
I want to introduce you to a great connection. Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, nobody wants to spend hours cleaning floors, so how does ICS make it easier?
Yeah, our Pentek coatings are incredibly low maintenance. They resist oil, grease, and chemical stains, so spills wipe up easily. A quick sweep or mop keeps your floor looking showroom new, whether it's a garage, patio, or a basement.
That's a huge time saver. So how do these floors hold up over time?
They're built to last. We have a manufacturer lifetime warranty for all of our customers. Our Pentek coatings are 4 times stronger than epoxy, so they stay tough and beautiful for years.
Easy and durable. Love it. Sounds like a dream floor. How can listeners get started?
Just call us for a free estimate, and we'll handle the rest in just one day.
Get a hassle-free floor with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or go to icsconcretecoatings.com, 405-403-4012, or visit icsconcretecoatings.com to get your free estimate today.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m. You have a bunch of people who, if they don't know any of these people, they've never met Candace. And I feel like they're a bunch of pick-me mommy sleuces who are got tired of their true crime and are trying to fulfill the emptiness of their lives by replacing a husband's love by obsessing over a widow.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Taking a quick look at your weather for today. Partly sunny skies. It's going to be a warm one. High of 93 degrees tonight. Breezy, humid, partly cloudy, low of about 74. Tomorrow we'll see sunny skies, windy and warm with a high of 93. Feels like Oklahoma out there. Then on Thursday, windy, warm, high of 93 degrees. It's partly cloudy and 75 degrees at 7:18 this morning. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in March in a case that could determine whether people who use illegal drugs can legally possess firearms. At issue is a provision of the 1968 Gun Control Act that prohibits anyone considered a, quote, lawful user of controlled substance, from owning a gun or ammunition. Well, the challenge was brought by a Texas man who admits that he uses marijuana several times a week and was charged under the law. The same federal statute was used in a 2023 gun case against Hunter Biden, who was later pardoned by his father. No surprise there. The Trump administration is urging the court to uphold the restriction. Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association joins us live on this OK 2A Tuesday. Good morning to you, Don.
Good morning, sir. And hey, as I always say, if you want something messed up, just get government involved.
Let the government take care of it. That's all it takes. We were just talking about the other day, and this is somewhat related but not totally related, the cost of the jail at like $870 million or whatever it is. It's $150 million more than it cost to build Devon Tower.
Wow.
For a jail.
Wow.
So like you said, if you want to screw something up, let the government handle it. They'll take care of it every single time.
And I'm assuming Devon Tower's probably a little more luxurious and nice and actually draws good people into it.
And considerably bigger. Considerably bigger.
Just guessing.
But, you know, when you're talking government, you know, you get what you pay for kind of a thing.
Right.
So let's talk a bit about pot and guns.
Okay. This is what the problem is because obviously some states like Oklahoma have some type of an allowance to consume marijuana under certain conditions, and some states just say, hey, do whatever you want. I think this actually started over 100 years ago with the battle between the sale of alcohol and the sale of marijuana. And that's been an industry problem that who managed to convince government that marijuana bad, alcohol good. And so they're protecting their own financial interest. And
absolutely,
I am not saying either way whether I'm for it or not, but I'm just saying that's where it's helped get us to where we are today with all this stuff.
So this one is kind of a tough one because they're now recharacterizing marijuana, medical marijuana, as no longer the same scheduled drug as it was before, but it's still considered an illegal drug on the federal sense. So even though that classification has changed, it's still considered an illegal drug. And under the 1968 Gun Control Act, which I hate the name of that to begin with, but under the 1968 Gun Control Act, anybody who uses any controlled substance can't possess a firearm.
Correct. And that's the other part of that, too, is it's almost a permanent ban, which is, I think, part of the whole situation here also. But here's how I look at it. If it's been described or prescribed as a legal remedy or whatever prescription, that I'm sorry, the citizen has the right to be in possession and consume, because we have seen people consume all types of prescriptions. That doesn't change them in their attitude or what they're doing. And if there is one that does change them, obviously there needs to be addressed. But the Second Amendment is very clear. It says the right shall not be infringed. And unless a person is threatening or harming another, this really needs to be just look the other direction. There's been way too many people for way too many years put in jail for the peaceful possession of marijuana and for the peaceful possession of a firearm. And the firearm should not elevate the crime, especially if the gun is just in possession and not being used.
So if I have to go in for, let's say, surgery tomorrow because I want to have that much-needed sex change operation that I've been wanting to have for quite some time now. So I go in for that sex change operation that I've been yearning for years. And yeah, in the process of doing so, they prescribe me some medication because parts of me have been removed and that really sort of hurts.
Right.
So I receive some medication, let's say, for example, morphine. So morphine with a prescription is legal. Does that mean that I have to sell all of my handguns? Of course not. That's silly.
Correct. And even to go to that farther, if you are taking morphine and you do something that's dangerous, yes, this could be a problem because that could be a criminal act that you've done to have the firearms, you be removed from your firearms from that situation. So it's really sad. Like I say, we got government involved in it. And like, I am no fan of marijuana. I can't stand the smell of it. I've never tried it. I just know one time, and actually multiple times, several OK2A members, combat veterans say, Don, I have to have it to alleviate this certain issue I have or this. And I'm looking at a guy that's 65 years old that's made decisions for himself his whole life. Who am I to tell him he can't have a gun and marijuana? There's no application that fits in my head that makes that work.
No, and again, I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of medical marijuana. I've shared this story a couple times on this show that I've got a friend of mine. He's a guy, and he went to one of these dispensaries, and they had one of the portable doctors there who was, for $200, he'll sign you a script for it. And he went in, my friend, went in complaining of menstrual cramps. And was given a medical marijuana. The doctor smiled a little bit, laughed, gave him his medical marijuana card. So he's got a medical marijuana card now for menstrual cramps. So it's that easy to get the thing. But conversely, my mother was 52 years old when she came down with metastatic cancer. It had spread throughout her entire body. It was in her bones. It had spread to her brain. We knew that she was within a week of dying. And they were giving us liquid morphine by the gallon for her to keep her healthy. But if we tried to get her some marijuana so that she'd be able to eat, she couldn't have marijuana because marijuana, and this was in New York State, marijuana is a gateway drug. So we'll give you a gallon of morphine, but we don't want to give you marijuana because that's a gateway drug. And you're going to die in a week anyhow, but we're looking out for what's best for you, Mrs. Brolbeck. And that made no sense to me whatsoever. So people who legitimately need it.
I'm sorry, here's a sidebar problem is this industry has to be all cash. So here you need to have a gun to defend yourself inside your legal business, but you can't legally have the gun because of the product, which is absurd. And also, everyone wants the product. Everyone wants your cash. And you can't defend yourself.
Yeah, these places get robbed like crazy.
It's absurd. They should absolutely be exercising every private business right in firearms without even hesitating. So it's the line that I don't have a problem with it re-establishing that it's a legitimate drug, even though both you and I both know it's just short of recreational here. They're getting better control of it, even though there's still a ways to go. But the reason part of this, too, is if they can control that, they can't control my Second Amendment rights if they can't control marijuana. That's my point, too.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, yeah, you want it messed up? Get government involved, and here we are.
Instantly. So Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association is joining us on this 2A Tuesday on Freedom 96.9. The Supreme Court heard these arguments back in March, Don. They're expected to make some type of a decision. Could be as early as the end of this month. What direction do you think they're going to go?
I think it's going to stay in the position. I'm concerned that they'll follow closer to law enforcement than closer to rights. And I would prefer they follow rights myself. And even though, like I said, I can't stand the stuff, we've had so many rights deprivated and encroached upon that it's somewhere we have to push back. And unfortunately, it turned about to be one of the ridiculous things instead of something more in our backyard. Yep. So there you go.
And the Trump administration is urging the court to uphold the restriction. Do you think they'll uphold it as is, or do you think they'll make some modifications to it, or where do you think they might make any changes, if there's any room for wiggle room at all?
Boy, it's just hard to predict on this. I mean, you've got three Democrat judges, basically. I think they want it, so I don't know. This thing could be a slam dunk one direction or the other. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
We'll just be patient.
If I had to make a prediction, my prediction is they're going to leave it exactly where it's at. They're not going to make any changes.
Would not surprise me, but like I say, for a person to be able to purchase a firearm simply because they have a marijuana card, there should not be that restriction. It should not exist.
And the answer is, at the federal level, they would have to do away with making marijuana illegal just basically across the board. And by doing that, this would just be a non-issue.
Correct. But like I said, I don't know. Our attorneys will advise me not to advise anybody on marijuana and guns. That's how messed up this whole thing is.
Really? So when OK2A members approach you and say, what should I do? What's your response?
My response is you better acquire all the firearms you can acquire before you ever get that marijuana card.
You know, I like the way you think. Buy more guns.
Yeah.
I like the way you think.
Exactly.
Don Spencer joins us every Tuesday morning on OK2A Tuesday. Well, coming up after nearly 40 years at the helm of the Chickasaw Nation, Governor Bill Anitubby announces he's stepping down. Who takes over as Oklahoma's most powerful tribal government leader? We'll talk to you a bit about that. Also, Oklahoma County Jail Trust orders a closer review of its finances, the concerns raised by a new audit, and what could be up ahead for them. Meanwhile, Edmund hitting the pause button on new data centers. Why city leaders say they need more time before approving additional projects. And the race for state superintendent of public education heating up as candidates square off in a major debate. Trey Savage of nondoc.com joins us with the key moments and what they mean for voters. Plus your dad joke of the day. We want to hear yours at 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Radio News. I'm John Summers. Residents in much of Florida felt an earthquake which struck just off the western tip of Cuba in the Gulf Monday afternoon. It was a 6.1 magnitude at just 16 miles depth. At least 37 people are dead, 20,000 displaced after a magnitude 7.8 earthquake hit the Philippines. Janice Mackey Freer reports the number of injured has risen to hundreds across four provinces. Dozens of buildings have collapsed or been damaged.
The region in the so-called Ring of Fire experiences hundreds of earthquakes every year. The challenge now, with widespread damage and thousands displaced, getting help to those who need it.
Iran and Israel have stopped attacking each other after intervention from President Trump. NBC's Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker says President Trump agreed to another interview. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Jeremy Thurman with McIntyre Law with your McIntyre Minute.
A few years back, a severe wind and hailstorm tore through my neighborhood and ripped off half the shingles right off my roof. I figured my insurance company would do the right thing. I'd paid my premiums for years. I was wrong. They lowballed me. They delayed. They acted like the damage was somehow my fault. And I'm a lawyer. I do this for a living. If they'll fight me that hard, imagine what they'll do to a family who's never been through it. That's exactly why I do what I do. When the storm passes and the insurance company starts giving you the runaround, you do not have to face them alone. At McIntyre Law, we know their playbook because we've lived it too. Call us. Let us do the fighting so you can get back to rebuilding. Call us at 405-777-7000. Let us do the fighting so you can get back to rebuilding.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Questions continue surrounding Oklahoma's Operation Safe Homeless Encampment sweeps. Service providers in Norman say they were given no warning before a recent state operation cleared an encampment. Advocates are arguing the sweeps displaced people without offering enough housing support, and they say similar efforts in Oklahoma City worked better because shelters and resources were included. State leaders say the operation remains focused on public safety and connecting people with assistance, but homeless advocates continue pushing for more long-term housing solutions. Well, Oklahoma still doesn't have a Bucky's Travel Center, but discussions continue. Oklahoma City officials say early conversations have taken place about possible locations near I-40. Rumors of Bucky's coming to Oklahoma have circulated for years. Officials say the company does appear interested in the state, but for now, no official Oklahoma location has been confirmed. A proposed housing development in Edmond has been rejected by the city's planning commission. Developers wanted to build more than 600 homes near Coffee Creek and Sooner Roads as part of the Liberty Creek project. The commission unanimously voted no, meaning the proposal won't move forward to the city council. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Oklahoma state government is broken. Scandals have rocked our state, and we're the ones paying the price. Cindy Byrd earned our trust as state auditor by reporting billions in waste, fraud, and abuse that others covered up. Now, Cindy Byrd is asking for your vote for state treasurer. She'll protect our tax dollars, expose corruption, and invest wisely on behalf of Oklahomans. Cindy Byrd, a fiscal hawk Oklahoma trusts. Cindy Byrd for treasurer.
Authorized and paid for by Cindy Byrd for Oklahoma Treasurer 2026.
Hey, have you noticed over time your ability to be intimate just gets less? I mean, suddenly you wake up and things don't work anymore. Let's face it, dealing with erectile dysfunction is not easy, but it's not hard. Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. The effects of ED are no joke. They lead to problems, especially in new relationships and throughout existing relationships. You know you have a problem and it's always in your head. Look, ED never gets better left untreated. No matter what your situation or medical condition, for only $49, you'll receive a blood test, review our state-of-the-art treatment options. You'll see results that same day or your office visit is free. Imagine never having to worry about the fear and embarrassment of not being able to perform again. You can leave with medication that same day. So what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000. Or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be partly sunny, breezy, and very warm with a high of 93. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies, breezy conditions, and high humidity with a low of 74. Tomorrow will bring partly sunny skies, gusty winds exceeding 40 miles per hour, and continued warmth with a high of 93. Thursday will be windy and very warm with a mix of clouds and sun, along with a chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. The high temperature will once again reach 93 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. It's 75 degrees at 736. That means time for your dad joke of the day.
You are listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Now, here is your dad joke of the day. It is going to be really huge.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's very kind. You know, Uncle Dave, I bought 10 asparagus at the store yesterday, and when I got home, there were 11.
Huh.
Must have been a spare, I guess.
Must have been a spare.
So what's the plural of asparagus? Is it asparagi?
I think so.
Asparagi?
Asparagi.
Asparago?
Asparagus.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for weighing in. I certainly appreciate that. Let's check out your Freedom 96 First News headlines on this Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. One person is dead, two others recovering after a shooting in McAlester. The state of Oklahoma Department Bureau of Investigation says that officers responded on Friday night to reports of gunfire and found three people suffering from gunshot wounds. All three were taken to the hospital, where one victim later died. Investigators say a 20-year-old suspect has been arrested and booked into Pittsburgh County Jail. The OSBI is now leading the investigation and working to determine exactly what led to the shooting. A deadly shooting in Purcell is under investigation after police say a man was found with a gunshot wound and later died from his injuries. So far, investigators have released very few details about what led to the shooting. Authorities say the investigation remains active and are asking anyone with information to contact police as detectives work to identify everyone involved. Oklahoma City Police investigating after a shooting left one person injured. Officers responded to reports of gunfire and found a victim suffering from at least one gunshot wound. The victim was taken to the local hospital, but police have not yet released information about his condition. Investigators are now working to determine what sparked the shooting and whether any suspects have been identified. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact Oklahoma City Police. Oklahoma County Jail Trust is launching a closer review of its operations after an audit identified concerns involving finances, management, and oversight of the county jail. Trust members say the findings highlight the need for greater accountability as Oklahoma County continues planning for its new jail facility. Officials are now reviewing recommendations aimed at improving financial controls, staffing levels, and inmate care, as well as transparency. Supporters say the changes are necessary to restore public confidence in this troubled facility. After nearly four decades leading the Chickasaw Nation, Governor Bill Anitubby will retire at the end of this month. Anitubby has served as governor since 1987 and is widely credited with transforming the tribe into one of the nation's most successful tribal governments. Under his leadership, the Chickasaw Nation expanded health care, education, housing, and economic development programs that support thousands of jobs across Oklahoma. Tribal leaders say the transition plan is already in place, with Secretary of State Bill Lance expected to serve as interim governor. Edmond City Council has approved a moratorium on a new data center project throughout the end of the year. City leaders say the temporary pause will give them time to study the potential impact that large-scale data centers could have on water resources, electric infrastructure, land use, and surrounding neighborhoods. The decision comes as communities across Oklahoma weigh the benefits and challenges of the rapidly growing industry. Supporters say the move allows for responsible planning, while critics worry that it could discourage future investment. Edmond, meanwhile, is also taking steps to prepare for future wildfire threats. City leaders have approved a community wildfire protection plan designed to identify high-risk areas and reduce the danger of destructive fires. The plan includes recommendations for vegetation management, public education, emergency response coordination, and wildfire-resistant development practices. Officials say the growth along the city's edges has increased wildfire concerns, and they believe the plan will help protect residents, homes, and first responders during future fire seasons. Oklahoma City Public Schools is continuing its push to fill teaching vacancies before students return to class in the fall. The district recently hosted a hiring event aimed at recruiting educators for classrooms in the metro area. School leaders say openings remain in several subject areas as the district across Oklahoma compete for qualified teachers. Applicants were available to interview on site and learn about available positions. District officials say filling those vacancies remains a top priority ahead of the new school year. Organizations that serve homeless Oklahomans are expressing concern about proposed changes to federal funding programs. Service providers say the changes could make it more difficult to deliver housing assistance, mental health care, and other support services to people in need. Groups in Oklahoma City and across the state warn that reductions or restrictions on federal funding could place additional strain on already limited local resources. Federal officials say the changes are intended to improve accountability, but advocates worry that vulnerable residents could be left with very few options. Operation Safe Oklahoma is expanding its efforts to clear homeless encampments across central Oklahoma. The state-led initiative is now moved into Norman after conducting similar operations in Oklahoma City. Officials say the goal is to connect homeless people with services while addressing public safety and sanitation concerns. Supporters argue the effort helps to reduce crime and move people towards housing and treatment programs. Critics, however, question whether enough long-term housing and mental health resources are available to create lasting solutions. And Republican candidates for State Superintendent of Public Instruction talk education, taxes, and teacher pay in a debate hosted by NonDoc.com. NonDoc's Editor-in-Chief Trey Savage will join us live to break it all down. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Tuesday morning. Yukon to downtown 21 minutes. Norman to downtown 28 minutes. Edmond to downtown 23 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 24 minutes. Construction problems, Danforth and Kelly in Edmond. May and Northwest Expressway got bridge work there. And bridge work I-44 at Southwest 74th. Construction on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Vote for Edmond Republican Alex Warren for Oklahoma County Commissioner, a self-made entrepreneur who oversaw over 200 locations for a $1 billion operation for a Fortune 500 company. Alex Warren will restore integrity to the office, fixing roads and infrastructure, protecting taxpayers by operating with the same accountability that all Oklahoma families and businesses expect in their own household. Please vote Alex Warren. Alex Warren. Alex Warren. Paid for by family and friends of Alex Warren.
I'm Alex Warren for County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no carpet on the floor. Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no expensive decor.
Folks, have you seen the new Yanmar Zero Turn? How about the Altos Track Machine or the Bad Boy Mower lineup? All packed with power and performance. Let Tractor Bob's help take your lawn care to the next level. Free lifetime powertrain warranty for the month of June. Tractor Bob's, I-240 and Shields.
TractorBob.com. TractorBob.com.
McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma, live Saturday morning, 8 a.m., Sunday at 1. Call in your questions to roofing specialist Scott McCullum. McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma. Find out more at mcroof.us and tune in to our show on Freedom 96.9.
Oklahoma families are paying too much, and they deserve someone who understands how to lower insurance premiums. Marty Quinn has spent more than 40 years helping families, seniors, farmers, and small businesses protect what matters most. A conservative leader, Marty Quinn knows how to hold big insurance accountable and fight for lower costs and greater transparency. As insurance commissioner, Marty Quinn will put Oklahoma first, protecting families and standing against government overreach. Consumers always win with Marty Quinn.
Paid for by friends of Marty Quinn 2026.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right,
It's Brian Kilmeade.
I went to Starbucks, and I was tired of ordering the toasted coconut latte, and it was hot.
Could I have the tropical butterfly lemonade refresher?
And it said refreshing. I'm looking to be refreshed.
Was it refreshing?
So I, yes.
Do you feel refreshed?
Mark Thiessen is here. So Allison thinks it's the funniest thing she ever heard, but I enjoyed it.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Today we'll see partly sunny skies, warmer with a high of 93 degrees. Tonight, breezy, humid, partly cloudy, low of 74. Then tomorrow, definitely feeling like October out there. It's going to be sunny, windy, warmer, high of 93 degrees. Then on Thursday, windy, warm, high of 93 degrees, 75 degrees outside right now at 7:46 in the morning. Well, a new fact check of last week's Republican debate for state superintendent found several candidates' claims on taxes, education, funding, and teacher pay were either misleading or lacked important context. The review, published by NonDoc.com and The Frontier, examined statements made during the debate as candidates sparred over Oklahoma's education system and state finances. The findings come as voters prepare to choose a successor to State Superintendent Ryan Walters in next year's election. Now, during the debate, all six candidates for state superintendent, John Cox, Robert Franklin, Tony Hassenbeck, Deborah Herlihy, Adam Pugh, and James Taylor, had a chance to make their case to voters. Adam Pugh and James Taylor were asked about mental health in classrooms.
So if you become state superintendent and you get to deliver a budget request of the legislature, would you support efforts to add more licensed mental health counselors in schools? And would you include school counselor core funding in your first budget request to lawmakers? Why or why not?
Thank you for that question. I definitely support those services being provided in the school, but I've always advocated for it to be a community-based service, because if you just put it in the school, you create finiteness around it, where it's available 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, not summers, not on holidays, not on weekends. When you have an 8-year-old show up with a mental health issue, you can't possibly treat it for 15 minutes inside of a school setting. You've got to treat it in the community at the root, which is probably the family or society. And so I love the idea of private-public partnerships and us continuing to invest in mental health agency, as well as then providing some of those services inside the schools.
Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Same question to you. Would you support efforts to add more licensed mental health counselors in schools? Would you include the school counselor core expansion funding in your first budget request as state superintendent?
There's ways how we can get funding that doesn't require us going through the legislatures, and I'm sure we're not going to have time to go into that. But we need to make sure that our kids are mentally prepared, mentally okay. There's a lot of bullying that's going on in schools, and things that are happening with young people that they need assistance. And so a lot of kids come to my classroom and talk to me about things. I do have a background in counseling. So a lot of kids come into my classroom and deal with that as well. So I think that's an important thing, that they are have ideas where they can go and people that they can go to that can help them.
Well, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds here because I want...
All of the candidates were asked about gubernatorial hopeful Mike Massey's controversial statement about how all of our schools are being led by liberal left-wing socialists. Here's John Cox's response.
Last week in a debate among leading gubernatorial candidates, former Senator Mike Massey said Oklahoma has, quote, 541 school districts that are run by liberal left-leaning radical socialists. Asked to clarify, Mr. Massey doubled and sort of tripled down on the remark, which is widely circulated and received broad criticism. However, 24 hours later, he received an endorsement from President Donald Trump and said the political campaign world has been abuzz ever since. What was your reaction to Mr. Massey saying Oklahoma's schools are led by, quote, radical socialists? And have you decided whom you are supporting in the Republican nomination for governor?
So I'll take that.
Okay.
So I'm actually one of the ones he targets because I'm one of the 541 superintendents across the state. So I actually took it personal because I'm an extremely conservative person. And so I'm not that radical socialist that they're talking about. And I really don't know where he was going with that. And he may have meant something else, but it was pretty plain to me that he was targeting what we do.
Candidate Robert Franklin also equally put off by those statements.
But I can tell you this. When I was the assistant principal at a junior high, when people made fun of one another, we call that bullying. We also put people in detention for that kind of stuff. We don't need that kind of rhetoric. We saw that in our former state superintendent, who began to call names, began to call things out, and began to castigate people into a negative place. We don't need that.
You can watch the entire debate on nondoc.com. Nondoc's Trey Savage joins us live this morning to break it all down for us. Surprisingly, not a single one of the candidates agreed with the statement that they're all a bunch of socialists who are leading our schools.
Yeah, you know, who could have thought it?
Go figure. So what did we garner? What really stood out to you most from this?
I think a lot of people were really impressed with Mr. Franklin. I think that he handled the format well. You know, we had six candidates on stage, which is a lot, more than you'd like. And I thought that he was quick, he was sharp with his responses, and I think I heard a lot of people heard, you know, across the board that they liked his performance. I think Senator Pugh had a strong performance. I think Dr. Cox had some good moments, you know, I thought that it was a good conversation, as abbreviated as some of the answers had to be. There were, you know, some distinctions, right? I mean, you know, the question about mental health counseling, if you were able to listen to all six answers, Pugh and Taylor were the no's, mm-hmm. in terms of saying that they didn't want to put that in a budget request. Everybody else on the stage said yes, they thought it was really critically important. And, you know, Mr. Taylor was, I think, the only person who really promoted a sort of what can be a third rail of education politics is school consolidation.
Right.
And he talked about, in fact, our friends at the Frontier fact-checked his claim about Haskell County and the school districts and superintendents they have and the money that could be saved if there were, you know, a countywide superintendent, which I think we had in the 70s or 80s, you know, a little bit before my time. You know, I think if you were to create a state, you would probably not create one with 540 school districts.
No, especially like he pointed out, you've got one particular district that has, what did he say, four superintendents overseeing 1,300 students?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit insane.
Well, and I'm not sure those numbers ended up being exactly accurate, though. And, of course, it's politics, and, you know, 72% of statistics are made up on the spot. But, you know, I think that if you could wave a magic wand, all of that sounds really good in practice. But there's already a state law that Governor David Walters signed into law when he was governor that literally has a mechanism by which districts can consolidate, and they mm-hmm. get a little bit of extra money for the first couple of years to help with the transitions. And of course, if you get out in rural Oklahoma, you know, you say, oh, these two neighboring districts, you go to Haskell County, these two neighboring districts, they need to consolidate. Well, it turns out that when you start going through the hills and everything like that, you might be 45 minutes apart,
right,
in terms of, you know, a family that used to go here, now they got to go over there. And, you know, it's just we're here in Oklahoma City, and not that schools aren't, you know, a critical community function. I mean, I think there's a big problem with OKCPS has an absurd amount of vacant school buildings, right, that they just hold on to
for whatever reason.
I mean, don't even get the charter school folks started on that. Now we're building more. So there's your property. I mean, you got like $1 billion in property tax bonds, building more schools in Oklahoma City public schools, and yet they got a lot of schools that are sitting empty, but that's another conversation.
We complain that we don't have enough money.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the state constitution says you can only use, you know, property tax dollars for capital expenses, buses and schools and computers and laptops and things. And voters were given a chance in 2018 to modify that and loosen that up. And they said no. So anyway, we complain about a lot of things that we also say no to. But to take it back to rural areas, you know, it is much more the case that a school district is the lifeblood of a community. And, you know, I think that it will be interesting to me whether Mr. Taylor has enough support from folks who really sort of truly believe that's a big solution and we can find all these cost savings there. Because I think when you go to most medium-sized and smaller communities, they don't think their school board and school superintendent are radical socialists.
Nope.
And frankly, they'd probably vote them out if they were, mm-hmm. right? And by that, I mean they'd vote out the school board, who would then fire the superintendent. And B, they're very cautious about anybody who says, oh, well, we know I'm going to go into, you know, office in Oklahoma City, and I'm going to be able to come tell you how to, I'm going to fix Haskell County for you. You know, I don't know that that's going to go over super great. I mean, it'd kind of be like that weird governor candidate who, you know, decided to go down to southeastern Oklahoma and wander onto Josh Perkins' mother's property. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't think you should do that.
You don't, you know, do that more than once. Yeah.
I think he's lucky he only got rocks thrown at him. Yeah. Seriously.
Trey Savage with nondoc.com is joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, feel free to call in 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. So the superintendent of public instruction, that's not really a position that garners the same type of attention as, say, a Senate race or a gubernatorial race, typically speaking. But I think Ryan Walters probably changed that for us when he was in office, putting us very much in the national spotlight. And now I think more people are paying attention to this race. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think that there was a push. You know, Governor Stitt said at the beginning of this legislative session that he wanted to see this position be made appointed, or put it, I think you have to put it on the ballot to make it an appointed position versus make it elected. And the legislature, which is, you know, a populist body by design and in function, you know, did not want to do that. Now, part of the reason for that is that the governor already appoints 6 board members.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were also to give him the appointment of the chairperson, which is the state superintendent.
Complete control.
Right. So, you know, that was a little bit of a dynamic. You know, I actually think this position has always been a lot, you know, maybe even the second most interesting statewide elected, you know, state government position, because, again, everybody went to school. Everybody's got a school in their area. We spend a lot of money on education. It is, you know, continues to go up, and we also continue to not have great results, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot to implement this year with the reading reforms that the legislature has passed that'll go into effect over the next year and a half. And you know, we did that before. We had reading retention. You know, I think one of the things that's interesting is the tone, the tenor of our education system in Oklahoma. You know, we did the Democratic debate the next night. This was all part of the Oklahoma Public School Resource Center's annual Oklahoma School Innovation Summit. Say that 5 times fast. And we did the Democratic debate the next night, and Craig McVeigh closed with a pretty powerful moment where he was talking about how he's in McAllister. There was a middle school girl kind of following around, taking pictures for the local paper or the school yearbook, whatever it would be. And he said something, do you want to be a journalist or what do you want to be? And he said, I bet your grades are good because you're working hard here. And she said, no, my grades are terrible. And he said, why is that? And she said, because we're 50th in education. And, you know, if we tell ourselves that we're bad, if we tell ourselves we're incapable, we hear it all the time and we see the rankings, you know, at some point the prophecy becomes self-fulfilling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that we have to, you know, I see a lot of people who advocate for education, and sometimes I want them to, like, write out what they say. Like read your Facebook post again, because it may not, it's not giving people a lot of confidence.
Right.
So, but again, it's a hard job.
It's a difficult job. Trey Savage with nondoc.com joining us live. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it. Appreciate what you guys do over at Nondoc, too. You guys are really the only ones who are doing these debates, and it's important that these debates be seen, that people know exactly what it is they're voting for. So thanks so much.
Well, hey, thanks. We did insurance commissioner last night. Check out nondoc.com for a recap later today.
Got it. Thanks, Trace. Well, coming up on Freedom 96.9, Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson, 11 o'clock, Dana Lash at 2, and then Lee Matthews with The Drive coming up at 4 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.